Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're focusing on the I am statements of Jesus from the Gospel of John during April. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John 8. In John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And today we finish with Jesus saying, I am the way. Now, John 13 through 17 is the upper room discourse where Jesus speaks to his disciples on Maundy Thursday, the night of the Passover, the night he instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus has warned them of his coming suffering and death. So here in John 14, he takes the opportunity to comfort his disciples. He tells them to trust in the Father and to trust in him. He tells them about the place where they are going to be together forever, where they're going to have their next feast together, and that is in his Father's house. Let's talk about number one, my Father's house. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. John 14, verses 2 and 3. Life forever on this sinful earth is not the goal of the Christian. Who'd want to live here forever? The world is full of suffering, pain, and death. Jesus assures us and the disciples that he is preparing a better place for us. And that place is our Father's house. Remember, Jesus is a master carpenter, a master builder. He knows how to build things. Not just referring to his work here during his life on earth, referring to the fact that he is the creator of the entire universe, the heavens and the earth. John 1, 1 through 3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things are made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So the same person who created the Rocky Mountains, the same person who created the majestic Niagara Falls, the same person who created the overwhelmingly beautiful Grand Canyon. He is preparing a place just for you. And here's the thing. He knows you. Remember last week? I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I call them by name. He knows us personally. He knows everything about you. He knows your personality. He knows your tastes. He knows your interests. He knows your likes and your dislikes. He doesn't just know those things. He gave them to you because he created you. He knows everything that makes you, you. He knows you better than you know yourself. But I've heard people actually say and worry if they're going to enjoy being in their Father's house, being in heaven forever. Because, you know, Pastor, forever is a long time. And I'm not a big fan of harp music. Well, you don't need to worry. Listen to how the Bible describes heaven in Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You don't need to worry. You will not be bored in heaven. You will be filled with joy, the fullness of joy, abundant joy, overwhelming joy. You will have more joy in the first minute you're in heaven than if you combined every moment of joy of every minute that you've lived here on earth. At God's right hand are pleasures, pleasures that last forever. The pleasures here on this earth last a few minutes or shorter than that, and then they fade away. But the pleasures of heaven are eternal. They last and last and last, and they never disappoint. It is impossible for me to destroy the pleasures, the happiness, the complete joy you will experience in heaven. It is beyond any earthly words to be able to describe. All I can do is share with you what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. However great you think heaven is, it's better than that. Notice these words, prepared for you. There's those same words again. It's repeating what Jesus said in the upper room. He goes to prepare a place for us, and it is spectacular. Number two, I am the way. As the disciples heard Jesus talk about heaven, they not only were comforted, they started to get really excited. Finally, Thomas had the courage to ask the question that all of them were thinking. Lord, heaven sounds great, but how do we get there? How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's possible the disciples were thinking, like many people today do, that in order to get to heaven, you have to do a certain number of good works, or at least your good works have to outweigh your sins. Jesus pushes any talk of salvation by works aside. He completely destroys the idea of being saved by works. He tells the disciples, just trust me, believe in me. I am the way. You can't get yourself to my Father's house. I will get you there. Just believe in me. You see, we're saved not by our good works, but by faith in Jesus Christ and by faith in Christ alone. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Of course, Jesus isn't just a way to heaven. He is the way, the only way. There are not many roads to heaven. There's just one. And his name is Jesus Christ. Peter testified before the Sanhedrin, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other Savior. No one else can pay the price for your sins. No one else died on a cross for your sins. Only Jesus Christ did. Your pastor didn't die for you. Luther didn't die for you. Muhammad didn't die for you. Buddha didn't die for you. Only Jesus died for you. That's why he is the Savior of the world. He's the only one who by his blood paid for all our sins. Salvation is found in no one else. That is why the Bible tells us the name of Jesus is above every other name. It is, number three, the name above all names. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no other name other than the name of Jesus by which you might be saved. And that's why Jesus is the name above all names. And one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus.